the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That brought him to his senses. He said, "All those farm hands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I am going back to my father. I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against God, I have sinned before you, and I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand.'" John Constable was a famous 19th century English landscape painter. He lived in the idyllic setting countryside of East Anglia in England with his wife and many children whom he loved very much. It is said his particular interest was in capturing the beauty of the outdoors onto the canvas. There is a beautiful story about him. It is found in the diary kept by his son, who was also called John. At a special exhibition of his father's new works, critics from far and wide came to their home in Suffolk County. The highlight of the day was the unveiling of the very large canvas hidden behind the curtain. The great moment came, everyone was very excited. And Constable walked up to the curtain and pulled the cord, and the new painting was unveiled. But there was a groan and a shocked intake of breath, because right across the canvas, from top to bottom, there was a great tear. Slowly, everyone departed, and Constable was left with his children, wife and children, staring at the torn work of art. All his children were there except John. Later that evening, young John returned home, feeling guilty and frightened. His father asked John, "John, did you do this?" And he replied, "Yes." What happened next is something the young John would never forget. His father looked at him and said these gracious words, "How shall we mend it, my dear? How shall we mend it, my dear?" Is the story any different from our own story? Our own story of torn relationship with God, with fellow human beings, and with nature? When I came here 12 years ago for my interview, the discernment committee asked me to do a homily right here in this chapel. What I shared with them was the great reconciling work, the great mending work God is engaged in is really the essence of the entire Bible. From the very beginning, all the way through the end of the Bible, it is the great reconciling work God was doing. And that is what I shared with them. How shall we mend it, my dear? It begins with the story. It begins with the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. In the beginning, Adam and Eve, as they were in the garden, tearing the canvas of God's beautiful creation. Feeling guilty, they tried to hide themselves from God. And this was the first ever question God asked humankind. The first question God asked humankind. Adam, Adam, where are you? It's not because God didn't know where Adam was hiding from God. Because God wanted to know where Adam was in his relationship with God. And then, a little later, he see the second great question God ever asked humankind. And that was to Cain. Cain, who had already killed his brother Abel. God asked Cain, where is your brother Abel? Not because God didn't know that Cain already had killed Abel, but God wanted to know, where are you in your relationship with your fellow human beings? You see the two questions? Where are you in your relationship with God, and where are you in your relationship with your fellow human beings? The vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with human beings. Think of that as the two planks of the cross. It is in the middle of that. Later, Jesus found himself on the cross. Embracing the whole humanity, embracing the whole creation into God. Into that vertical relationship with God. And that is the great work, the great mending, great reconciling work of God that you see in the Bible from the very beginning. God, with so much love, created the human beings. Yet, they alienated themselves from God, from each other, and from nature, away from God. And God, ever so lovingly trying to bring back to himself. And this is, to me, the essence of the Bible. The whole story is just that reconciling work of God. The gospel lesson we heard today, read from the Message translation, is a familiar one. Is known as the parable of the prodigal son. However, this story is more than just about that prodigal son, just more than the reconciliation between the father and the wayward son. If it were just that, most of us wouldn't feel implicated by this parable, because we could easily say that we are not like that boy who went and wasted the inheritance on booze and drugs and prostitutes. This story is also about the elder son. The elder son who not only could bring himself to forgive his younger brother, but also was resentful of the joy of his father for the return of that young son. The portrait of that family remains torn as long as the older brother stays out of the picture feeling resentful. I think this is where most of us would find ourselves today, feeling resentful about God's joy of bringing others into God's fold. We need not only to be forgiven, but we also need to forgive. For true reconciliation, both sides need to act. The prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do we forgive others? This is kind of assumed in this prayer. Forgive us just as we forgive others. So our forgiveness is kind of already assumed. Very tricky, isn't it? So in other words, if you don't forgive, how can you really expect God to forgive you? It makes me a little uncomfortable to say this prayer as it is, but you know, I would rather say it this way: forgive us our trespasses as we ought to forgive others. John Newton, who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, which we will sing later on today, was the captain of a slave trade ship. It is said he had a religious experience during one of the voyages when his ship was almost capsized. It encountered a violent storm and about to sink, almost sank. And he prayed at that moment, probably remembering from his very early childhood when his mother taught him religion, faith, and Bible and all that. Ever since then, he had never been part of the church or the faith. You know, he moved away from everything like the prodigal son. And he, at that moment, said, "Lord, have mercy upon us." The same prayer that we sang a while ago. Lord, have mercy upon us. The ship was miraculously saved. Reflecting upon it later in his cabin, he began to believe in God and eventually became a believer and was ordained as a priest in the Church of England and became a prominent supporter of the abolishment of slave trade. John Newton reconciled with God by saying that he was a wretch who once was lost, then was found, saved by the amazing grace. John Constable's son expected and deserved to be punished. And we deserve to be punished for our sinful share in tearing God's creation, for spoiling God's beautiful canvas. But Constable spoke these gracious words instead. "How shall we mend it, my dear?" God is ever so ready to forgive us. He is waiting with his hands stretched out to embrace us back to him. Just the same way that father of that prodigal son, every morning he would be waiting outside the gate, waiting for his son's return. May we also have that same kind of grace to forgive others, those who wrong us, and also ask God's forgiveness for us. As we come forward this morning to the altar rail to receive the bread and wine, visualize in your mind that you are coming home, like the prodigal son, coming home to have that meal that he was hoping at his father's house. This is where we belong. Take a gaze and look at that cross, hang that above the altar, and see the image of Jesus with his outstretched arms, embracing you, coming toward you like the father of that prodigal son. He wants you to know that you are forgiven. He wants you to know that he wants you to join him and with fellow brothers and sisters at the table and receive his body broken for you and the blood poured out for you. And he pleads with each one of us, calling us by our name. Imagine Jesus is calling you by name. Come to the table. It's okay, my son, my daughter, you are forgiven. And just as I forgive you, you do that for yourself and for each other. I invite each and every one of us to think about this moment in our lives, mindfully and deliberately. Ask how God is breaking into our lives, how God is calling us to be a people set free of our burdens, set free of our bondages, set free of the chains that is alienating from that relationship with God. Write down on the slips of paper next to you things you need to take care of, habits and behaviors you need to change, addictions you need to rid of, people you need to forgive and need forgiveness from. Are there illnesses we need healing from? Are there people you need to call and say, I love you, or I forgive you? Later, after we say confession together, you will be invited to come forward in a symbolic way to burn the slips of paper you wrote your concerns by holding it by the flame here and place it in the receptacle to be completely burned. And I would like at this time for you to sit quietly and breathe deeply, relax the mind and the body, and sit as comfortable as possible to be open and receptive to God's grace and mercy during this guided prayer. We adore you, O Christ. We praise you, O Christ, because through your holy cross you have redeemed the world and saved each of us from our sins. Yes, through your holy cross you have forgiven us and loved us even before we know what forgiveness and love were all about. Right now, O Christ, each one of us comes to you seeking help in being a forgiving person. Some of us are having difficulty in forgiving. We need your strength and the willingness to forgive. Help us overcome the stubbornness and pride that cripple us in so many ways. And now, O Christ, in a mindful, deliberate act of our will, we want to forgive everyone who has anything against any of us. Some of us need to forgive our parents. Some of us need to forgive our partners. our spouses. Some of us need to forgive our children. Some of us need to forgive God, our Heavenly Lord. Some of us need to forgive ourselves. Some of us need to forgive someone who died before we were able to reconcile with that person. Lord, hear our prayers as we pray specifically by name for others whom we need to forgive. We now give to you all those persons we have named in forgiveness as well as ourselves. As you direct any of us to take a tangible action, give us the will to follow through with a phone call, a personal letter, an apology or restitution. Gracious and merciful Lord, help each one of us know the joy of forgiveness, the joy of burdens taken away, the joy of new life in Christ, the joy of health and wholeness in body, mind, spirit, and in all relationships. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray and dedicate ourselves. Amen.
We confess our